You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to this very special episode of the Safety Third Podcast. I thought we should start this week with a little bit of FFmpeg debugging for Nigel. Nigel has a problem. He accidentally let OBS record for how long?
I came back from the dead for this.
Yeah, I know. This, don't worry. Everyone who listens to this is going to learn something very valuable.
I started the recording at like 3 p.m. on Thursday and I just ended it. So, it added. Media Coder accepted it. It only took like 7 minutes to import the file.
If it took 7 minutes to import the file, imagine how long it's going to take to encode it.
I just clicked the thing to do any mods. Like it says match the bitrate to do any changes. I clicked it and the whole program's frozen.
I am pretty sure I've never actually done this, or maybe I've done it once. You can use FFmpeg to trim the clip without re-encoding it. I don't think any other video software will allow you to do that. I think they all will have to re-encode the video. Like this is the nightmare of video that's all built on FFmpeg. I've actually heard.
But they don't use all of its features.
Well, or they don't implement it well. There's a conspiracy. Okay, I feel like we should explain that.
We should explain what Nigel's problem is too.
Which one?
The computer recording one, the screen recording.
So he's like 100 gigabyte video file. Yeah,
he accidentally left his screen recording on like all night.
No, it's longer than that.
All night. It's 5 days.
Five days.
And so,
wait, there's 4 days. I don't want to exaggerate.
A piece of software called FFmpeg. If you haven't heard of it, if you listen to this podcast, I feel like you've probably heard of it somewhere. And it is the foundation of like a lot of everything having to do with video.
I didn't really even know that.
So the conspiracy I've heard is that the FFmpeg developer, the one guy.
Oh yeah, one of those.
One of those guys. The documentation is really bad.
Okay.
And he does it so that you have to hire him as a consultant if you're doing a big project with FFmpeg.
And the community hasn't gotten together because it's like an open source project.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's no like community wiki.
I mean, imagine that everything is like laid out in a way where it's like just confusing enough that it's better to just hire this guy.
Oh, if you're a big company. Yeah.
So
guys,
now you can't really get too mad, right? Because essentially it like lets you do anything with video. Like if you want to do any video encoding or cutting, like I have never heard of anything else. I haven't dug too deep, but if you're in a situation where you have a 100 gigabyte, 4 day long OBS screen recording and you want to cut out, you know, 95% of it.
Yeah.
You would have to like, everyone's like, oh yeah, you'd bring into Premiere and cut it. And it's like, yeah, but then you have to re-encode
You still have to like re-encode two hours of video.
Or whatever you need, right? And so, and who knows like what's going to happen if you bring that big of a file into Premiere. No, I just said it straight up didn't work. Like it's just going to sit there and think way more than it needs to. But I'm like pretty certain with FFmpeg, you can go in there with one like command line and say split the clip and just keep the first half of it. And it would just ignore how long the clip is. Like it wouldn't ever even think about how long the clip is. It would just cut it.
It would just cut it.
Like, I don't think it's even re-encoding. I think it's just cutting it and puts and then like cleaning it up.
Like the end file.
Yes. Yeah. It just cleans it, truncates it.
I'm experiencing a problem right now that is...
His computer's going to crash.
No, it's hard. Everything is great. Everything is actually going great.
That's called gaslighting yourself.
No. There's just one problem.
Denial. It's like the first stage.
No. I'm going to tell you the problem. It's really hard to describe, but if you use if you use Media Encoder, you'll know what I'm talking about. So you load it in to the software. Mm-hmm. And when you want to change the settings, you click a button.
And it freezes and it opens because up like, your clip is 100 gigs.
No, it opened. It's okay. A preview window. And it actually, because most of the video was like just my desktop. So it actually, if I scroll, it took a while, but it rendered it out. And I actually can see all the computer activity that happened over 3 days. It's actually fine. And if you go to the custom range, I can go on the left side. I can slide the dial. And I can actually find the beginning of the screen recording part that I need.
Okay, what's the problem?
The problem is when, for some unknown reason, and maybe somebody at Adobe can explain this to me.
No, they literally, everybody there died. So, nobody works on the software. All they do is they have a number that increments every 18 months that says you have to download an update. It's the same software.
I'm doing this with OBS, so it's like...
software is out of date. It's the same fucking thing.
I'm doing this with OBS. I think I have to send you, I'll send you a photo, a snipping photo of what I'm looking at.
Can we say fuck Adobe? Fuck Adobe. I used to be such an Adobe fanboy. I feel like I've bitched about this 1,000 times and I'll just keep bitching about Adobe. Adobe.
Yeah. My screen is very wide.
All Adobe are bad.
Look at this photo.
Exactly.
Look, this is what I'm dealing with.
They are the rotten apple.
This is what I'm dealing with. If I sent a photo.
Did you? Oh my God.
You still haven't explained the problem.
Yeah, we had to explain it for you.
The problem is that to shorten the clip, you have to click a little thing on the right side to drag it, but it's off the screen. It's off the part that it's supposed to be. And look.
Can you right click on the timeline?
No, you can't. And if you put your cursor over it, it disappears and gets hidden behind the metadata button.
Yeah, it really can't handle a 4-day long video. That seems like an oversight. Like,
do you see that though? It's there, and if you put your cursor over it, the metadata thing goes over it. And to get it back, you can
click the metadata tab. Oh my God!
To get
it
back,
the window
smaller,
resize the window.
You change the window, it comes back, but then the moment you hover your cursor over the moment the cursor touches the metadata button, it goes above, so you can't click it.
I really would
You can. Can you resize the box, like drag the box over.
It doesn't do it. The thing always stays on the same spot in the metadata.
No, like drag the bottom one all the way over.
Yeah, the line that separates the two windows.
Yeah, the black line in between the boxes.
Yeah,
drag it all the way to the right.
The gap,
I feel like I'm
the
helping
exact
my,
same.
My grandma the log gap into on the internet.
The length of the clip on the left changes, but the little nub that goes over to the metadata.
Make it taller so the metadata button is like further under.
It doesn't do it. It stays in the exact same spot.
You know, I bet if I did it, it would just work.
Kevin, I'm so close.
Was that live, John? Or, it's just a screenshot.
How do we?
Well, that's a rip.
FFmpeg dash SS.
Kevin, no.
Yeah. I'm not a lot of ideas.
We've been talking about the one idea that will
encoder
work.
Media Encoder is such a bad piece of software.
But it's all we've got.
Yeah, it's just so clunky. Like it just
if you
like,
click
like having an abusive father, he's still your father.
If you click entire clip, the right side one comes back inside, but when you click it, it doesn't do anything, and then it flies under the metadata.
As much as I want to talk shit about Adobe, I really think this one's on you, Nigel.
Yeah,
he can't drag the out point because it's stuck on the.
No, but then I click the button and now it goes back. But when you click it, the screen goes black and nothing happens. And then you let go and it goes back to where it was.
Can you click the brackets?
Right?
You can click the brackets, right? Are those in here? Wait, okay. Can we, for the love of God, either just do it with FFmpeg right now or literally...
Give up. Just give up.
Yeah, I would just either give up or do FFmpeg. FFmpeg-SS... space 00:00:010. That's the time. What is the time? This skips the first 10 seconds.
Wait, what?
And then how does this work? Am I missing something?
Why does it just let you change the duration of the output file? Either way, probably move on. I'm not sure the audience likes this this abstract, obscure problem.
What about I and O? Does I and O work as a hotkey?
What does that mean?
If you fucking press the I button on your keyboard. Hit the O button on your keyboard.
The in and the out.
In and out. So click the out. Click O. Hover over where you want and click O.
No, it doesn't do anything.
And then show. Dude, it's broken. It's because it's a 4-day long clip.
Yeah.
Today's a very special episode of the Safe Podcast.
Now I have two endpoints.
You have two endpoints?
Neither of them work.
Dude, you fucked something up bad. Like, can you move both of them? No, you can't move either of them? Look,
no, you can't move either of them, but there's two of them. And can none you click of them anything work. Else? Sorry?
Can you click anything else? Have you frozen the window?
If anybody's wondering what it's like to be a YouTuber, it's this.
Yeah.
This is, like, actually...
Yeah, all you have to do is make a video. Yeah,
this is like 50% of the time that it takes to make a video.
4 hours trying to figure out why Adobe won't let you move to the endpoint on your 4-day-long video clip.
I need the clip.
Dude, just install FFmpeg, for fuck's sake.
Oh, no. Now my beginning one disappeared, came out.
Dude, it's like one... I'll know exactly what the command line is.
Are you sure
is.
That that's like actually the end of the clip that's like overflowing? Or is it just like duplicating that last segment for some reason?
I have no idea. Okay, I'm downloading FFmpeg.
You go FFmpeg space dash SS space 00. You do your time code to what time you want it to start at.
You back up this file first.
And then you say dash TO.
Kevin, it's 150
the time you want it to end at dash okay. I.
You have like one shot at this though, because if you type this in wrong, it's just going to like yeet your clip.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll
you're going to have to copy and paste your 100 gigabyte video clip.
It's going to take 5 minutes to copy it to my desktop.
Huh.
This is unfucking believable. This is like live news coverage of a car chase.
Yeah.
It's like you're waiting for it to just crash and explode. Thrilling conclusion coming up in 45 minutes.
Does Nigel destroy his entire 100 gigabyte clip?
Does the audience click out of this video and watch literally anything else, even Peppa Pig?
I think that's the answer.
Can you imagine getting to a point where you'd rather watch Peppa Pig than the Safety Third podcast? That doesn't seem... I think that's just more about the viewer than us, though. I've only ever seen that clip, like that show online. I've never seen like a full...
Oh, yeah. I don't even know. Is it on Nickelodeon or something?
I have... Yeah. Can John do some research on Peppa Pig?
Okay. Also look up what shows are on Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network right now.
Peppa Pig is what channel? You can watch on Netflix and Hulu. It's exciting. What channel? What channel is this horrible dog shit show? Cartoon Network?
Or no, like what channel originally did it originally air on?
What did it?
I had a little cousin who loved Peppa Pig.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel
they started speaking with a British accent.
Oh God. What's the one that people actually like really hate? Caillou?
Oh yeah.
Like the cancer kid or whatever. Peppa Pig is an animated series starring Emile Smith. No, I don't give a shit about that. Oh, and watch it on Roku. This is like a ChatGPT question. I think we say that every episode. Google, I think, fucking died, bro. Google is like your grandma, like grandma or grandpa died and grandma kept the corpse in the closet and just keeps collecting the social security. Like that's, I think Google is like, Google actually died and
there he is. Nope, he's gone.
Did Nigel fucking die?
I think he crashed his computer.
No way, did he crash his computer? Is he still in the, did he exit the Discord call?
No, I'm here.
Okay. Oh,
I'm here.
Okay.
Oh, your head disappeared for a second. Did you install FFmpeg?
I am right now. I'm trying.
Look up what cartoons kids watch. What cartoons are on Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon right now.
What cartoons do kids watch? Dude, this is like Google is not going to do this. Count.
These are all like the same. But nothing's changed.
Adventure Time.
These can't be.
Fun.
Yeah, but they still do reruns, I bet.
Does that count?
No. I would be surprised if there's like really any new stuff coming out.
Mm-mm. I don't know who watches TV. Who the hell has TV anymore?
Every time I hear that somebody still has cable, I'm like,
ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Cringe.
Yeah, I think
I have FFmpeg.
Even I think Google TV or YouTube TV costs like $90 a month now or something like that.
Yeah.
And I think I'm assuming that still comes with ads, no? Probably. There's no fucking way.
Yeah, yeah. I just got my hair cut and the like hairstylist was talking about how she still has like cable, internet, and the home phone, like that package, and she pays $300 a month.
I mean, your hair looks...
What?
Okay, it's not like she fucked it up that bad.
Yeah, she couldn't have been like that.
That fucked up?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on in that?
$300 a month, and you still have to watch...
Wait, I didn't even register that. She pays $300 a month?
Yep.
Are you fucking kidding me? What the fuck? Uh-huh.
And I'm like, my internet's sports? Like... No, I don't think so. Older woman.
Holy
you know?
Shit.
Yeah. And that's... I remember paying that much, like, you know, my parents were paying that 10 years ago.
Dude, you know, it's so funny. Like, you know when people bitch about Patreon? I know we're preaching to the choir here, but it's like... You used to pay like hundreds of dollars a month. Like I remember my parents would pay like my dad's such a cheap ass. It would be like, you know, $100 a month TV package, but even like $100 a month for a TV package.
Yeah.
And then you complain of like, you know, like donating to people's Patreons is like, oh, they're just like asking. But it was like, if you you could give $10 a month to 10 of your favorite channels. Like, did you watch 10 shows growing up?
Yeah.
Actually though?
I mean, just like I'd sit there and watch Cartoon Network.
But were there 10 shows that you like actively were seeking out and watching?
Oh. No, probably just like two.
Imagine you're spending $100 a month on TV or even like $300 a month on TV. And instead you can support content you like for like $10 a month instead directly.
Yeah.
That's a great deal.
To get better content.
Right. And then you don't even have to pay for the rest of it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause you had to buy like, you know, 100 channels if you wanted
to. You had to, and it still had fucking ads and all sorts of dog shit.
And like, then if you wanted like just a little bit extra, it's like another 50 bucks.
Like, relatively speaking, that's a huge improvement from 10, 20 years ago when we were kids. Like, there's a guy on Patreon that I have like...
Wait, I'm gone again.
Did you die? Well, how does that happen? Oh. Is it like office face? Oh, Greg, did you full screen it? Oh my God. Oh, so wait, full screen Firefox again? Or Chrome? Oh, he's still there. Move?
No, he's frozen.
No way.
No.
Wait, try it again. Oh, he froze. I think that when you full screen it, the GPU stops rendering...
Yeah.
The background. We need another monitor. There's a guy I started supporting. I spend like $20 a month on Patreon. I just give it to different people.
Okay.
And I moved it recently to the guy who made this electric tractor video.
Oh, yeah. You were telling me about that.
Yeah. Let me talk about this guy. Electric.
Craig of the Creek. Tractor. Teen Titans Go. Adventure Time. Some spinoff. And Amazing World of Gumball. Plus probably some other older shows. But okay, so there's like nothing new on there. Amazing World of Gumball, though, is fantastic. That's probably like one of the best cartoons I've seen.
I've never seen it.
I wish that was on when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good.
I remember watching SpongeBob high on morphine with my fucking wrist exploded out of my arm.
Oh, yeah?
I like had to... I had to have like a emergency appointment for the like orthopedic surgeon. So I just went to like my intermediary, like my primary care provider. I was 10. And they like look at my arm and they're just like, I didn't go to school for this. And so they just drugged me the fuck up, man. And they sent me home. I was like wearing a splint. My arm is like, the bone's like completely sideways. The skin's intact, but the bone is like twisted.
Ew.
So there's like a huge lump in my arm. And I'm just sitting there like actually baked out of my mind watching SpongeBob. It was fucking sick.
Yeah.
I don't remember what any of the episodes were that I watched.
That's like Gumball.
Yeah.
Except it makes you kind of feel high. It's like a psychedelic trip sometimes.
If you're like double high, if you're like...
Yeah.
Like fucking submerged in Benadryl.
Yeah. I swear, like some of those episodes, they must have like just taken some kind of like some smoked salvia.
Dude.
And then just like animated it.
I think that when you watch some shows and they're absolutely fucking batshit insane, they absolutely are doing drugs.
It's like almost the writers versus the animators.
Yeah.
You know, you're messing with them.
Right. Are you how's it going over there? You install FFmpeg? This is.
I'm doing it. I'm doing it.
Not believe he's spending his podcast time debugging his 100 gigabyte clip. Is it working? Did you figure out the command?
I found the thing. You have to remove 345,000 seconds of the clip.
Here, I'll send you the link that I found. The blog.
Don't worry, man. I'm doing it. I'm hacking. It's probably the same thing.
It might be. It's gumlet.com.
Yep, I'm on that, man.
I found. Yeah, I mean, good luck.
1, 2, 3. Enter. Okay.
Did it work?
It's processing.
Now you know what I'm like thinking about rats though, is because the fucking rats living in the house. I feel like that
give
classic
us a rat
bit.
Update.
Dude, rat update. I've officially fucked one rat up, bro. It was brutal. It was like, bro, the big rat traps are fucking nasty.
Yeah, they are.
Like a mouse trap, you could just stick your hand in it.
Yeah.
Rat trap would like, if you got unlucky, it'd break your finger.
I think it would. If it hit you like on the top of the finger.
The bar is like gone. It like goes like halfway. Like it just sort of sinks into the rat's like skull.
Yeah.
And then like it just sort of forms back over. So it's just like embedded in the rat.
Oh, yeah.
But I made... I think
it's like a perfect rat head outline,
dude,
with like the ears.
No, it's the opposite. It's a perfect bar outline.
Exactly. In the rat.
They're in the attic, right? Like you can hear them all the time. Not in here. I'm not
chittering
sure.
Around.
Like, dude, they're so bad.
Yeah.
My wife is gonna kill
they're in the walls.
Rats fucking everywhere. The roof on this house is like turbo fucked. And so there's like roofs under roofs because they kept adding on.
Yeah.
There's like 8 layers of shingles. Like it's...
Yeah. Rat hotel.
Dude, I bet you the roof of this house weighs like as much as like a car or two. Like,
oh, yeah. Sure. So you were doing something one day and your sister comes to the house and she comes up and gets me and she's like, you know, Kevin, the house is flooded. And I'm like, what do you mean? And she's like, I don't know. The bathroom's filled with water. There's like an inch of water on the floor. So we're like going in there trying to find the leak. And it turns out a rat chewed through the plastic PEX pipe and there's like water just spraying out onto the floor. That was probably going on for like 2 days.
You just like didn't even know it because it's like the bathroom was just like construction.
And then, you know, they like, completely like gnawed a hole in the PEX pipe. They also like ate a hole into the sewer.
Yeah. Through the 4-inch or the 3-inch line. Yeah.
Yeah.
The ABS line. Like I really fucking want to kill these rats really bad.
Yeah.
And I put 8 traps up in the attic because I think they're coming from the sewer. I think they're coming up the sewer pipe through that vent. I put a piece of tape over it to see if they like knocked it off, and they haven't yet. But I'm like, if you go up in the attic, it sucks, right? So like, how do you check if there's rats in the traps? So I used an ESP32 the other day for the first time, and it was way easier than I thought it was. I was like, holy shit, I should do more of this. That was just like wireless communication between 2 nodes. And so I found how any programmer codes, just like a couple of different examples that was an amalgamation of what I wanted to accomplish.
Yeah.
And so I made this like rat trap attachment that you glue onto the trap that has an ESP32, a limit switch, and then like a AA battery pack, because I was just using shit I had laying around. And I made an email address for it.
Okay.
And I learned that this might be useful for anybody who wants to do any automation but doesn't want to set up like your classic automation bullshit. You can email your phone number.
Anybody?
I think it depends on who your service provider is.
Okay.
But like with AT&T, you can email your phone number at mms.att.net. The SMS or the TXT is the other one, like text, but that one didn't work for me. It like wouldn't go through.
Okay.
The MMS went through. And you get a text message on your phone.
That's cool.
So basically
Is that what all the spammers use?
I think so. Yeah. Cause it doesn't work very well. It's like really, it can be delayed and it doesn't if you do it more than like once a minute. But it literally is a way to just very easily without having to make any accounts, send yourself a notification. I didn't want to do that though. Cause it's like, if you write your Arduino code and it doesn't work the first time and you accidentally send out like 400 emails to yourself and then you get your email banned.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, I don't know.
And that text service banned on your
phone. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's like, dude, literally there's like the rat traps up there. There's 5 of them that have the sensors and the other one I'm waiting for more Amazon stuff. They cost like what? $4 for the ESP, a couple bucks for the batteries and the holder. Like, you know, and everything else is 3D printed. And it's like $5 for the, or, you know, $6-$7 for the electronics.
Yeah. Cause if you catch a rat and you don't get it right away,
guess
what?
It just rots away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Within like 2 days.
It's fucking disgusting.
Yeah. That's usually how you tell that you've caught a rat.
It smells.
Yeah.
And so here's like, you just get a text message. Your phone goes off. It's like beep, trap, C, triggered.
Mm-hmm.
I spent like, I don't know, maybe 5 hours trying to figure out how to write the code and figure out all the bullshit, you know, bugs or like.
Oh, yeah. That's actually, that is what happened.
Yeah.
Here. Remember what, that?
Which one?
The rat?
The one.
The stinky one? The
stinky
rat?
Yeah. And then it's like, It pulled the trap up and it was just like the mummy.
Just the
like
fur.
Dehydrated fur cloud. Just like a mold spore cloud. Just That was, that's fun. I still use that trap too. It's like completely stained.
I saw that.
With like ratchet.
I saw that.
And I'm really excited for the rat that like decides to eat off of that one.
Oh yeah. It's going to be like a generational rat.
Stew,
yeah, patina.
Like soaking into the wood. You heard like people tea
stain
things?
It's like, this rat trap has the souls of 500 rats.
It's
infused with
it's a color you can't buy in any hardware store. It's like, it's like a textured color. It's like fur stuck to it. It's fucking rancid. But I couldn't believe how easy it was to just like send an email from an ESP32. There's just libraries that do it. You just like, once you figure out the Google bullshit where you have to like give it an app password instead of a regular password.
It can tell that the request is coming from an ESP32.
Somebody was telling me that the browser does something differently that the ESP. You like a browser has a different way of logging into your Gmail account.
Okay.
Or your email account in general.
I have no idea. What's an ESP32?
It is a microprocessor that has like Wi-Fi built in.
Basically like an Arduino with Wi-Fi. It's
a
different brand though.
It's, yes, basically. It's like a company that makes a microprocessor that does a bunch of fancy stuff and has Wi-Fi. And it's also really cheap. And so it's really popular, like kind of an Arduino board, basically. That made somebody mad.
Yeah. What do you program it? What language?
Just C++. I just use the Arduino IDE.
There you go.
If I can't do it in the Arduino IDE, nope. Or I'll write Python inside of VS Code. But like, if you can't do it, if you can't write your microcontroller sketch in a single page, like if you need multiple files.
Oh, yeah. You have like, to download dependencies for.
Yeah, well, like Arduino kind of handles that. But like a lot of time, like the smart way to do code is you organize your own code in different files. Like you have different.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And so you have like different
folders. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, like each of these sketches or each of these, like, you know, like different
and
utilities.
That's what you call, you like open up the whole new file when you do a, you call it or something like that.
Right. So you're like, you're kind of importing your own files just to keep things more organized. But it's like with Arduino, like the IDE is absolutely not built for that at all.
Yeah. So it's just one long.
So you just like, I mean, you can do it, but it's horrible. So like, for me, if I can't do my whole sketch in what would be like three pages of a Google Doc, I've done something too complicated.
Yeah.
Like actually, like no. But most of the stuff's handled by libraries. And so you just your code kind of just does what you want it to do. Like, dude, it's like you just copy and paste. It's fucking sick. Like it pulls, like it does something to pull time. Like it pulls time from some domain.
And all
you
have to
you type in your like daylight savings offset and your
that's what I did for a clock I made once.
I was like, this is so fucking easy.
Yeah.
This is sick.
The problem though is that, you know, like I wanted to give my clock away as a gift.
Oh, then they have to like
then they would have you know, so like, hey, what's your Wi-Fi password?
And like, oh my god, yeah. No, dude. Even like actual professional devices haven't figured that out.
I know.
You know, you buy something and it's like, oh, you must hit this button and then it'll configure itself as a Wi-Fi device. And then you like connect to it with your phone. And then you have to go to this web page. And then you have to type in what your actual Wi-Fi is. And you're like, oh.
Wouldn't it be cool if there was like just like a generic, you know, like you just walk past a Wi-Fi, like any hotspot can put out some signal.
Yeah, like a really shitty internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that no one's figured it out because they don't like want to. I don't know, it's like kind of the Apple vibe of they just sort of control everything in a way that makes everything worse, like there's no standard. Yeah.
Have you heard of like Helium and LoRa?
LoRa is just like a wireless protocol.
Wait, Helium, is that the
mesh network thing?
Yeah, that you just buy like your own little box.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, and you add to it, you add to the mesh. Oh, the mesh. That's cool.
But it's designed for like IoT devices and stuff like that.
That's like what crypto people should be into.
Yeah,
it's like decentralization.
Well,
it's like, yeah, then put your own fucking little mesh network box up and add to it.
And that's how you mine, is by like the more traffic goes through your...
You get paid
or something.
Crypto bucks.
Yeah, they have a phone plan. It's like 20 bucks a month.
Would you actually get paid?
Yeah, you actually get paid.
No fucking way. That's sick.
Yeah. And you get like free credits to use for like phone plans and your own IoT devices.
There's no way this ever works.
You know, there's an empty spot on this property.
Really?
Yeah. Almost the whole town is taken except for this one. So I was thinking about getting one.
But what do you mean the whole town's taken? Like, so no one else could do it? Like, there's no point in anyone else setting something up.
It's like Pokemon Go.
You can, but you don't, like, I mean, if you're trying to make money, you won't, I don't think you make money on something that's already been taken.
They're incentivizing you to take real estate to, like, fill the map out.
Exactly. Yeah.
So then... You can, what do you get? You like go buy a phone or something? Or how does it, is it like wireless 2.4 gigahertz or?
No, I think it's like 800 megahertz or something, oh, like 824.
So then you buy a.
You buy like a base station.
But what's the, what do you, oh, so it's like internet?
Yeah. Yeah. It's internet and it all meshes together.
But it's like really slow internet.
Yeah. It's not meant for like internet.
So what's the device that you talk on?
Oh, well, yeah, you can get the phone that it uses like LoRa, the mesh network while it can, and then like, you know, the regular cell towers when it can't.
Mm.
So that's why it's only 20 bucks a month for unlimited.
So what is the phone? It's just like a weird phone?
No, I think you can actually get it with a lot of different phones. I don't know. I was just on their website kind of browsing around. It was a little bit ago.
So you buy a special hardware phone?
No, I don't think so.
You can use a regular phone?
Oh, no, you do need a special hardware phone because it uses a different frequency, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you can put something in your, like a case, like a phone case. That
no, or I don't know. I don't know, man.
You can call on it? I mean, it's kind of cool because I pay like $100 a month.
There are like handheld, like LoRa network messengers too.
Like a pager?
Yeah, like a pager. Or just for texting.
Mm.
Yeah. And it has a pretty long range too. You know, it's like 800 whatever.
Something.
What is it called?
Miles.
No, megahertz. So it travels far. You can use them as like walkie-talkies.
Like through concrete?
Yeah, it's kind of stupid though. It's just like a gadget. Unless everybody uses it, it doesn't matter.
You're like, hey, cool, it worked. Let's see how far it goes. That's pretty cool. A couple miles. All right, let's use our regular phones
Exactly. Yeah. You're on your phone like, hey, can you? Did you get the message?
No, what do you mean you didn't get it? I think that is, that feels like something that is very cool, but will like never, you're like average consumer.
Everybody that runs it is too much of a nerd.
Trained person?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. They held these like community votes and stuff like that.
Oh no.
What to do with the, I don't know. I had a friend in college though that was really clever with this.
Yeah.
And he like actually would like rig up these base stations with solar panels and fly them on top of buildings with drones.
And yeah. Like dump them there?
Yeah.
That
yeah.
feels like a violation of several federal departments.
Maybe so.
Like,
yeah.
Dude, I think you'd be crawling up FAA, FBI, CIA. You'd
like set up guerrilla
yeah.
helium miners all around town.
That's fucked.
Yeah. He was making a lot of money though. I think like, you know, $1,500 a month just passively.
How heavy were they?
Not very. Like 3 pounds.
Okay.
But how did they get powered?
Solar. Yeah.
So, the solar panels were just fixed to it, and the drone was just like precariously.
He would like sneak up on top of parking garages and buildings and set them up on light poles.
So like it looked legit?
Yeah.
That's really funny. I wonder, I feel like you could get into actual trouble for doing
it. Maybe.
Like it feels one of those things that's pretty harmless, but you'd have like the wrong, I think that has to be like, dude, even like city planners, would the FCC get involved?
No, they wouldn't know.
No, but I'm saying like, if they figured it out. Like you putting a broadcast antenna on a public space.
I have no idea.
Because you could do it on your own property.
Yeah. But it's also like I think it's like it's a free frequency.
Imagine you're sitting in your office building. You're like on the 70th floor and you see this drone flying up with what looks like a weird electronic box hanging from the underside of it.
Yep.
I would think only bad things. What world am I like imagining this is not nefarious?
I mean, I guess it is. Yeah, I was going to say that.
Do you fix your clip yet?
It's going. It says that it's 30 minutes. It's rendered 30 minutes.
It's rendering. Is it actually encoding it again?
Yes, so.
You know, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Remember we were talking about steam distillation last time, Nigel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the best way? Is by boiling the substance in the pot, or by like shooting steam into the pot?
Both. They're kind of definitely shooting steam in.
Why? You think that's the better way? Okay.
Well, okay, I have a question.
That's my secret.
Why do you need the
steam? $10. For $10, I can pay you. I can pay you. I can share my secrets, I mean.
Okay. I mean, if I'm paying $10 for secrets, I want
what's your Bitcoin address?
Yeah.
How long is your penis? 135. I don't even know if it's alphanumerical, is it?
You didn't hear mine.
What was yours?
What?
How long is your penis? Oh. Soft.
What?
Huh?
About 12. 12.
Fuck! Wait. They use
No.
They use metric for distance?
Yeah, millimeters.
Millimeters?
Or centimeters.
Centimeters?
For $1,000 more, I'll share the unit.
Angstroms.
Angstroms. We came up with an idea for the candles since you haven't sent us your poop flavor.
I know, dude, it's in my notes and every day I wake up and see it and go, I'll do that. And then I just...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
A week goes by and I'm like, what happened?
He's not lying. I do that every day also.
I have a list. I have a whiteboard that I kind of stopped using. I need to use it again. I just have a list of all the things I need to do.
Uh-huh.
You have to get a new whiteboard that says revisit old whiteboard.
Yeah.
It's like one of the
Problem. Some of them stay on for way too long. And then you just like, the board becomes like crusted over with like things you were supposed to finish like 2 months ago.
Oh boy.
So I needed like an unrealistic expectations
whiteboard.
That's
why calendars are good, because you just get like a fresh start every month.
You never have to look back.
So somebody sent us two cans of Sulastrome.
Oh, yeah.
You've smelled it, right?
Yeah, I ate some.
It is.
Oh God.
Very good. It's a very good.
It's very good. It's very good.
Very good.
It tastes great.
Did you? Wait, what video did you eat it in? Or no? Did you not?
We haven't. Oh,
it's the stink
it
one. Okay. It is. I think because I ordered some sample scents from that scent website, and they smelled like a little too nice. I think still. I think that the extra can of Sustroming, we're never gonna eat it because there's only two people here who appreciate it. It's John and I, and then everyone else doesn't just not appreciate it, but they actively despise it.
Yeah. You tried to give me some.
Yeah.
I got it like 3 inches from my mouth, and I think I even like put it in my mouth and I just reflexively.
You didn't even touch it. You like that. You were still on like the pickled onion and potato.
Yeah. No, I couldn't, as soon as I smelled it. Also, I was sick for a week after that.
I can't believe
I don't know if it's related,
it.
But.
No, that actually would probably cure you of an ailment.
Yeah. It would kill like all the stuff in my body.
It would kill whatever part of you was weak enough to get sick. So if we steam distill the Sustroming, we can extract the essence of the Sustroming and then shove it in the candle wax. Yeah. How do you think about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, hypothetically,
we're going to get a cold trap with dry ice to catch the super volatile stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Dry ice would be easier. Liquid nitrogen, better.
Better.
How do you pump liquid nitrogen?
You would just have it like boiling off. Like say like a test tube that you put in a beaker.
Yeah.
And you fill the test tube with it.
So you actually have to get that cold.
Yeah. It's more efficient in the more surface area.
What is the water?
You don't have to get it that cold.
So here, I watched a couple of videos on YouTube and there was just like that classic ChatGPT bullshit where it's just like none of it makes any fucking sense. Why do you need the water?
Because the compound is soluble in the water.
So you're pulling out a compound by distilling the water, but why would it go with the steam?
So basically, if you're ready, I can give you
Send me your bill afterwards.
I'm saying it'll be about 45 minutes, and I hope the audience is ready. You know, we're going to get into distillation.
You say that like they don't already watch fucking 45
yeah.
long videos.
This is just like a free Nile Red video. Are you kidding?
Yeah, exactly. No, basically, I think what is something that I guess could be interesting if you start doing distillations. When you start, you think they're so clean. Like you'll be like, oh, I have like, let's say you mix two chemicals or two solvents. One has a boiling point of 40 C. The other one has like 100 C. You're like, oh, I'll just boil this. The first one will boil off at 40. And then the next one I'll get at 100. It just starts to be like, oh, these chemicals are similar. So they don't actually truly separate. And between the 40 C and the 100, there's a massive tailing. So you could lose like half your 100 C boiling point thing to just like a mixture of stuff.
Yeah.
So
then people came a gradient.
Yeah. It becomes like a gradient. Yeah. So then people did fractional distillation and other techniques to kind of like to basically further separate the two. So fractional distillation, the simplest thing is it's a column packed with like, you can do it with like glass marbles. But it causes the liquid to condense and reboil.
Like what do they call it? Yeah. Theoretical plates? Theoretical?
Yeah.
But
it's like every time it does that, it theoretically promotes the lower boiling point one to boil off.
So, and so is it like multiplying something by like a decimal over and over again? Like you're kind of just redoing the like a discount, like 5% discount on 5% discount. So it's like it just gets, it like whittles it down slowly.
Yep.
But you'll slowly get a much bigger separation and that's whatever.
So it's kind of like fractional distillation.
Sorry?
Yeah, it would just be like running multiple distillations. Wow. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, but it's like you're getting, just like it, if you see in the column, if you could visualize it, there'd actually be like a full separation of the chemicals and you can get some pretty good results. And there's many different techniques with that. But then after that comes why it's like, why do you have steam distillation? And the reason is there are some things that if you boiled them off alone, this is like for some chemicals, their boiling point is above their degradation point.
Okay.
So you're like, well, how do you distill it then if it's going to break before it distills or it reacts with air or has like, it's just sensitive. So steam distillation is super useful for things like essential oils and other smells and stuff. Because a lot of it's like carbon-based stuff and stuff that's a bit sensitive to oxygen. You don't, you want to like a very nice conditions. So what steam distillation does is kind of like what I said, the distillations are a bit dirty, is that you can have an organic compound mixed with water, but when you heat it, as steam forms, or as water heats up, vapor forms on the surface, but there is a bit of like the chemical in there, a bit of the chemical is volatile as you heat up, and it will dissolve into the water vapor.
It will kind of carry.
Yes.
Oh, so like it's not steam.
But well, so what happens is if you,
it's like hot mist.
The true steam distillation, you pump steam through it. So you actually have hot water vapor going through the liquid, dissolving stuff, because it's at 100, it can be higher than 100 C, but like dissolving stuff and then carrying it with it, because at 100 C or above, the steam actually can dissolve some organic compounds better.
The steam, okay. So when you look at steam in a pot and it's like hazy, that's not steam, right?
That's water vapor.
So the what?
But underneath the water vapor is steam.
So there's steam and water vapor.
Yeah, but if it's a closed system, you won't get steam. You'll just get water vapor.
Yes, water. So like the water vapor, it's almost like...
Because it's not, you keep it so hot that it doesn't recondense into like droplets.
So just immediately, like it comes out as steam, and the instant it cools even a tiny bit, it turns back into water vapor. But it's like maybe atomized and hot, so it goes up.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
I think it stays like 100% water vapor until it hits the part that's cool. Like that points down.
Yeah, but steam isn't water vapor. Steam is just like it's a gas that's like not wet.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, it is. It's not going to be condensing.
I mean, it is literally water vapor.
Is steam water vapor? It's a gas.
Yeah, it is.
It's water in gas form.
But steam is a gas, no? Because like water vapor. Yeah.
No, I see what he's saying. Steam is like, you know, that's coming off of a boiler.
It's dry.
No, I would say steam is like, is the wet part that you see. Is the cloud. Steam
canonically,
is the cloud.
But actual steam is dry, right?
Technically, yes. Ish.
Yeah, I mean, you can't say it's dry.
It still has water
like,
properties.
It's a dry steam.
But like if you had like 1,000-degree steam, you would basically not get wet. You would get wet from the steam condensing on you. But if you had like 1,000-degree piece of metal and 1,000-degree stream of steam, the bar would not be wet.
No.
No.
Until it like blows away maybe over here and
cools down a little bit.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't even know at that point.
So when you see steam coming out of the distillation, it's like steam and then steam that's like turned back into water.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a mixture.
So it's almost like you somehow are getting water vapor, like pulling the oils out and then staying in like the little clump of water vapor as it goes up.
I would say
if you were having an example, like if you took like something that smelled nice, like a perfume, I don't know, something. If you put a straw in it and you blow, you blow bubbles in like a thing of perfume. The air you push through is going to pick up some scent molecules. And that's kind of with steam. If you don't inject steam in, the heat's still on the bottom. So the steam is being formed on the bottom and then the bubbles are going through the liquid to the top. And as the hot bubbles are going through, it is in the hot water, gas, it dissolves a little bit of the organic stuff because the whole thing's at 100 C. So the organics are, their vapor pressure is higher. So they let off a little bit of vapor into into the water, the steam. That then as a gas gets carried over to the condenser. And when it gets recondensed, you actually see it gets hazy because the oil then separates from the water.
So can you have volatile compound dissolved in steam?
Yeah.
Like steam, dry steam.
Because steam is a gas, so gases will mix with gases. That's what I would assume.
It is dry in the in the flask that's boiling and in the like
so the
that's
the
dry steam. It only turns into wet steam once it starts condensing and turns into fog. Yeah.
So the steam, the dry steam is carrying the oils out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the oils are slightly soluble.
In steam. I feel like the idea of something being soluble in steam is very weird. I don't understand that.
Yeah, it is.
Especially because
it's like it's not soluble in liquid water.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never thought too deeply. My assumption would be because if you look at a lot of gases, as far as I know, and I could be totally wrong, I've never really heard of immiscible gases, like gases that just won't mix. Mm. Liquids won't mix. Like you'll have like oil and water, but no one will ever be like, oh, like, you know, CO2 and oxygen can't mix those. Mm. And it's like I think once it's in the gas form, by definition, something that's a gas has no like the molecules don't really see each other. So I think that they just kind of maybe mix in with each other way easier because there's just kind of not real competition for space. I don't know. I haven't thought too much about it.
I feel like they would mix in because there's like no surface tension, but they would eventually separate due to buoyancy.
So yeah. The buoyancy, if you don't touch anything, it will separate. But like, I think if you put hot steam, like in the steam distillation, the classic thing people do is you'll put like, you know, rosemary or something in some water and then you bubble steam through it. Or you can just boil it. The reason why bubbling steam works better is because you can just generate way more steam easier than trying to generate steam by boiling a large amount of water.
Do you still want to keep the water like near boiling though?
It's at 100°C. Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually. So it's like, and the steam that you put in is hot. So it keeps the whole thing at 100°C. But it's like in that really hot water, just like how hot water dissolves like oil and grease a bit better. There is going to be a bit of oil in the water. And then as you pass the steam through it, it's all at 100°C. So there is a vapor pressure of the oils and it's just going to it's just going to be like pulled out with the steam and just carried over with it. So it's like I mentioned, in some distillations, that's really annoying, but in steam distillations, it's super useful that it's kind of mixing.
Okay. So if you took some sort of organic matter that had something you want to pull out that was stable to like 400°.
Okay.
Or let's say 200°C.
Okay.
Like twice boiling. If you superheated your steam, so you're like above boiling temperature, right? And you ran that through whatever, you know, matter you were trying to pull stuff out of.
Okay.
So it comes, so it's the whole process is dry. When you condense the steam.
I don't think that works too well.
So it has
Maybe
to
it
be
will,
wet?
Though. I think it would work, but I think by soaking it in boiling water, you're kind of making like a tea. Like it's pulling crap out, which creates a big surface area that you can then kind of, the gas runs through. Whereas I think if you put the gas over, let's say like, some random herbs, you don't really have that much surface area. It's just like whatever the surface area
is. When he says it, it sounds
is.
Like drugs. When he says like
herbs.
Random herbs.
Herbs.
Okay, herbs. There is another problem though. How do you get the smell out of the water and into a candle?
You drink it.
Well, no. So this is like the two problems that you run into when you're working with, you know, smell stinky science. So with the surströmming, I would say that the thing that one easy thing would be a solvent extraction.
Yeah.
So it's like you just mix it with like DCM, shake it. It'll separate
evaporate
into layers.
It.
Yeah, and you evaporate it. The problem is when you evaporate it, you lose all your stinky smell. Because it goes away with the DCM.
Oh, because like, it's basically a steam distillate. It's forming an azeotrope probably with the DCM.
Not even, it's just that the stuff you're smelling is volatile.
Yeah.
So if you're evaporating a solvent that's volatile, you lose your stinky stuff. And you're like, I just deleted the entire point of this.
Molecular sieves.
I may or may not have done that. That's how I know. But the with the steam distillation, you can trap everything, especially if you have a liquid nitrogen trap, because then anything that's gaseous will get caught. Anything that was like more oily will then come over with the water. But then you have the exact question Kevin said is, great, the stuff that got trapped in the liquid nitrogen trap, that's fine, because that's just like some pure organic crap. And the moment you take it out of the liquid nitrogen, it will recondense and liquefy or boil off. The stuff that you get over from the steam distillation is a crap ton of water with like a layer of oil. And it's just like, but that's not going to mix into a candle. So you're going to have to, you could
centrifuge it,
suck
maybe.
Off. You could suck off a lot of the water with like a pipette or something. And then
but sometimes
like,
it's
we'll
like,
just,
it'll just
drop sieves
it'll
in.
Be an
could you say
and pull
something
out the water?
Suck off the water?
With the pipette, you're doing him dirty.
No, I think we figured out what the 12 is.
Yep. Never
Come on, guys. Trying to give you good science here, you guys.
So we remove the water mechanically.
No, you suck
off. We suck
the
off the water.
Suck off the water.
Kevin's a sacrifice that you're gonna have to
no,
make.
No, not the fish water.
So you mechanically remove the water.
A lot of time, the water's it's an emulsion though.
What if you? So then you let it sit, or
you can add salt. You can add salt.
Oh, okay.
What kind of salt?
And the other thing to ask is like, oh, just table salt.
Okay.
The other thing that you have to ask is in the whatever you're trying to extract. Yeah, no, if it's stinky and it's an amine, it's definitely a free amine. So it should be fine. It should be fine.
What, acid base?
Because the thing is, triethylamine, if that's what is in it, is very soluble in water. So getting that out of the water is going to be a massive pain.
What about if it is like some other, could you do like an acid base extraction?
I think what might be easier is you could.
Depending what
you
it
could,
is.
But you don't know what's in there. I think what might be easier is if you find, but then you might be able to find something that's immiscible with water that's kind of like, not oily, because I think oily would reject a lot of stuff, but that's just immiscible with water enough. Maybe like ethyl acetate or something. You shake it, it'll do an extraction from water. You add a bunch of salt in the water to make everything not soluble. You extract it.
Like push it out with the salt?
Yeah.
Yeah. But there is paradoxically problems
with
like.
What the fuck figures this shit out? So the salt has like a higher affinity for solubility.
For water. Yeah.
So yeah, like fills but, them, it like. Yeah.
Like it can actually squeeze the stuff out.
Yeah.
Dude, what the fuck?
So, it's like but there are,
with amines,
that's fucked.
I could be wrong, but I remember this is how I got screwed up. With amines or certain, there's certain things, it's paradoxical where if you add salt, it increases their solubility.
Oh, geez. And then I love chemistry. There's so many of these like gotchas. It's like everything is actually just.
It's like walking through a Vietnamese
no,
minefield.
Rules. Yeah.
But with that being said, probably salting will work. And it could be that instead of, no, yeah, you just salt it. It maybe will work. Maybe use like maybe potassium carbonate, but that's basic. But whatever, you put some salt in. You could probably do ethyl acetate because it's like kind of an inert thing. Or even I don't know. It's like you might be able to find something that will mix into the wax. So yeah, it's like you're not really like, you don't have to evaporate that solvent. You're just kind of adding it to some kind of, let's say, 60, 70C wax. You mix it in so it has kind of a like good coverage. And then when you raise the temperature of the wax up, it kind of like takes on the odor without you pre-evaporating the solvent.
Why can't you distill it again, the volatile stuff out?
What do you mean?
Where you like just distill it at a lower temperature. So you have your water and you get rid of the volatiles using lower temperature distillation.
I don't know what you mean.
Maybe because it's like soluble in water.
You can't pull it out of the water with...
I mean,
leave the water?
You can keep steam distilling, theoretically, like sequentially, and you'll have less and less water each time, probably.
But you can't, so you can't pull it out if it's in the water, dissolved in the water, you can't pull it out.
With a solvent,
you have to use a solvent?
Yeah, probably. Depends on what it is. Like, and the big thing with stinky stuff, it's just a mix of crap. So it's like, I would not really trust throwing random stuff into... Because if you're going after just triethylamine, just buy trimethylamine, just buy it. Maybe no, in the US it's hard though because
it's worse than it's like got a funk to it. You know, you've smelled it before. And I think actually whatever it is that smells that bad, you could honestly just like heat it up and just use like a liquid nitrogen cold trap and it would.
Yeah, you could.
I think it's really volatile, you know.
You like can't keep it in the can.
Yeah.
It like jumps out of the fish. Like
yeah,
a fucking,
like, it is.
Like a Home Depot Halloween decoration. It's like, ah!
It might be possible. You literally just put it in a box. No, that'll take.
Dude, I bet you if you pour
wait,
it in a flask.
I have an idea.
Put a
I have an idea for
it,
you.
Low temperature and a cold trap above it.
Yeah, I think that would work pretty good.
I have an idea for you. Take the fish can, put it in a little box, seal it tight, and then in a closed loop, put another flask or a test tube in a liquid nitrogen trap, and theoretically, the water and everything should transfer over to the other trap. And you will then have done, I guess, I don't even know what that's called. You can also pull a vacuum on it and it will facilitate it. So all the volatiles transfer from the fish to the tube. You
from
still
the high
have
pressure
water
to the low pressure because it's pulling the liquid nitrogen would be pulling a vacuum. It would be condensing everything.
It's just like it's the just air. Ends up being like yeah. Things go towards the cold. So like you just leave it for days and then you'd have you still have water, but it would just be like
much less. You just do it probably a couple of times too.
Yeah.
Dude, that's actually hilarious. You're like, you're just skipping straight to the condensation process.
I want a cryo cooler so bad.
I have one, not to brag.
My friend came over with one and it's like, he filled up a thermos of liquid air in like 6 hours.
Kevin, not to brag.
Imagine saying that to your grandmother and she's sitting there. She's
know,
like, am I supposed
was,
to think that's cool?
That was the nerdiest thing I've ever said.
Kevin, not to brag, but I have a cryo cooler that was described as the Rolls Royce of cryo cooler.
Yeah, that's exactly what a guy with 12 would buy.
How many watts is your cryo cooler?
I have to look it up. It's 1 watt at 4 Kelvin.
Okay.
And it's,
I think his was like 5 or 8.
What does 1 watt at 4 Kelvin? It takes 1 watt to get down to 4 Kelvin?
No, that's how, no, that's it, like it's cooling power.
That's its second stage.
Oh, it's like negative watts? Yeah. It's like it can remove 4 watts.
But it's a 2-stage cryo cooler. Here, I'll find it. I was very proud. I got it on a good deal. It's an old MRI machine cryo cooler. But I've not had time to actually check if it works. And I'll be very sad if it doesn't.
We'll do a checkup for you. It might come back smelling like fucking actual
shit
meat, though.
If anybody is selling a cryo cooler, let me know. Like a little Stirling cycle.
Yeah, reach for the stars. If anyone wants to give Kevin a free cryo cooler.
Free cryo cooler.
I haven't seen shit on GovDeals.
Oh, dude.
No, that's like
someone.
They used to be all over eBay and now they're gone.
Dude, that's amazing. Somebody is selling a refurbished version of the one that I got for double the price that I got it at.
How much do you buy?
I think it was, I want to say 7K Canadian.
Yeah, this guy's selling it. 5K US.
This guy's selling this one for 11.5K American, which with the exchange rate now is like pretty bad for me.
What about just like 400 Peltiers stacked on top of each other?
Hell yeah.
People have done it.
That would work. Why would that not work?
It does. It's just super inefficient and it doesn't work that well. I know people use it for like those radiation, what are they called? Like where you, like cloud chamber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see how many watts mine is.
How do they work, cryo coolers?
It's like, a refrigerator, versions. But they use liquid helium.
Mm.
But there's like so many versions that I don't even know. Right, there's a Stirling one.
But yeah, that's what my friend had.
But if you take a refrigerator, remove the refrigerant,
yeah,
and you replace it with helium.
I wonder if that would.
I don't think so. Huh. It's probably the compressor.
It's pretty
and the oil
complicated.
That it uses.
Mm. Mm.
What was Hyperspace Pirate? Yeah, he was working on a DIY cryo cooler and.
Okay, you know what I think would totally fucking work?
What?
A fridge in a fridge in a fridge in a fridge in a fridge. You might end up with problems with the refrigeration cycle once you get down below certain temperatures.
Yeah.
But like the Peltier is like, does it fucking care?
I think it's like, it works better when there's a bigger gradient.
Yeah.
But I think that the more you stack, you get a less of a gradient.
Well, the temperatures, the Peltier wants the... you want the hot side to be as cold as possible to generate cold.
Yeah.
So if you can make the the Peltier, you would need
so you
like
end
a pyramid.
Up, you end up with a pyramid. Yeah they look like a pyramid.
Wait,
yeah,
it's
like 10%, 10%, 10%. So you're almost like, it's like asymptotically, you never quite get down.
Wait, well, I'll say
you
that
never quite
my cryo cooler is a Gifford McMahon cryo cooler.
McMahon?
Whatever that means. The cooling capacity at 77K, I had to find it on ChatGPT, is 30 to 40 watts.
Oh, yeah. So my friends
was pretty
like
high.
10 times smaller.
5 watts.
But so, Kevin, the input power ranges between 6 and 8 kilowatts.
Oh, my God.
That's bro, actually, why the fuck you buy this nuts. Shit? You might be able to get one of those cheaper.
His was 80 watt input power.
I bet you the kilowatt one is cheaper. Because nobody fucking
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if How I trust ChatGPT. But it's basically literally the system I bought is what powers MRI machines.
Keeps all that
for their continuous like cycling liquid helium.
Hmm. Let me just keep an eye on GovDeals.
Yeah.
Or eBay.
But if you get good GovDeals, deals,
man, you just get really lucky.
Oh yeah.
Even
Do you remember
eBay?
The like the MRI machine?
The truck? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there was an MRI truck, like a mobile MRI machine. We should have bought it, bro. That's what it's like. What? What'd that sell for? Like nothing. Because nobody fucking wants
it. I think
it.
They were like giving it away.
They like, yeah, it was like they just didn't want it.
Yeah. There was one on Facebook Marketplace in Orlando. They were giving it away, but you had to like
take the whole thing.
You had to take everything out of the truck. They bought the truck on Facebook Marketplace. It's like a big military truck. It had an MRI in it, but they said like you have to just remove the MRI from the truck and you get to have it and scrap it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It like, still works.
I decided I don't want it anymore. You just walk away with the
crap. I checked how much helium it would take. It was $60,000 worth of helium.
It to start it up again?
To start it up, yeah.
And then whatever, a software license for $500,000.
Yeah, exactly.
And a dongle.
Yeah.
The MRI dongle.
Dude, just do it.
It's gone. Oh,
it's gone, yeah. Somebody probably just scrapped it.
Only 60,000 in helium, and then once you leave one day, you come back, oh, there's a leak, it's all gone.
I would.
Why was there not helium in it?
It was like decommissioned, I guess.
Did they drain it or had a leak or what?
You can't leave the helium in it because it has to be a cooled. Yeah, cooled or else it just expands. That's my assumption.
Maybe there's like a company that will come and like drain it.
Yeah, probably.
Okay,
so helium is so valuable.
I feel like there's not really like a solid conclusion on how to get all the goodness out of Suostromo.
No, I said what to do. Maybe I said if you do the steam distillation and you trap a bit of it in liquid nitrogen, that's the secondary trap. The primary is just probably like water on ice or something in the tube. You'll get an oil, whatever, in water. You could then let your liquid nitrogen stuff thaw out and just dump that into the same tube if you want, or just let it thaw out and keep it separate. And then you find a solvent to extract it with. Maybe a higher boiling point one like toluene might work.
Here's my thought. Is the smell of Suostroming that you smell when you open the can soluble in water? Because why is it leaving the can?
Probably not super soluble.
Like, I feel like the smells you are smelling are not soluble in water.
Those are the smells that were made when it fermented in the can. Yeah.
Those are the smells that are fucking desperately trying to leave.
Yeah.
Trimethylamine is soluble in toluene up to 8%. So you can at least extract that with toluene. You can get probably a lot of your good stuff. Toluene should dissolve almost wax. So it should dissolve into wax.
It'll also smell like paint thinner when you burn it.
Oh, like you put your flavors in toluene?
Yeah. And then you just like pour the toluene into the molten wax.
It'll smell like burnt rotten fish.
Because toluene boils at a high temperature. So you'll probably be able to melt the wax. And it won't boil off the toluene.
Oh, so your smells will stay in the wax.
Yeah.
Trapped in the.
Yeah. So if you do a beeswax, it'll melt at like 60 to 65. You could comfortably add the toluene, probably mix it in. And then.
An organic beeswax with a cotton wick soaked in the same organic beeswax. And the scent added to it is decomposing fish corpse. Yeah. It's all organic, don't worry.
Just poop smell.
It's the closest we could find to actual feces without using actual feces.
Dude, I think it's a great candle.
We need to like try to get a hold of the company and ask them for just empty cans, like uncanned cans.
Oh yeah. Oh, okay.
Like imagine, or wait, what if you could get the cans and you could seal the candle in the can?
Yeah, and then you like crack it.
You have to crack it open yeah. And then you have a fucking candle. That's sick.
Yeah. Candle.
Candle.
I wonder. You'd have to get rid of the toluene. No, I don't think you. If it's concentrated enough, you wouldn't have to really get rid of the toluene. You should for a fun. You could use benzene instead. Benzene's boiling points less. Just add the little cancer factor.
Just to see what it smells like. Try it.
Sorry.
So you're saying just to see what it smells like? Try the toluene.
I think the toluene. That if I had to do it, I would attempt that.
Where do you get toluene? Amazon.
Home Depot.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty easy sick. To get.
Okay. I like this. I like this progress that we're making. I think that this is very exciting because I really like the idea of rotten fish candles. I just think that's so fucking funny.
Yeah.
I think but it's so... Like,
it might let off a bit of a toluene smell, but I don't think you'll notice that with all the rotten fish.
The rotten fish.
What if it's like a sardines like, can? It's like a big tea light candle and you have to like...
What if you could like make... Roll like it back. A bulge, like you make it like extra bulge. You get it. Oh. And it's like almost like the can is like a dome can, like we're just
for the full experience.
Like, yeah, like comically domed. Like imagine like a jam jar, but instead of the top being flat, punched flat, it's punched into a dome.
Yeah,
and so it looks like it's just completely
like botulism. Yeah.
Because you could get custom cans made. I don't know how much that would cost. You just get empty cans. No, you can't. How do you can? I don't think. Canning cans, you could do soda cans. I'm not sure like regular tin cans is like an easy thing to do. You think somebody would do that?
Yeah.
And you would just say like putting the lid on like veggie cans.
How does it work? Does it just crimp the cans?
I think
on?
So, yeah.
Yeah.
You can definitely get a canning machine for like pretty
For cheap. Regular cans though? For beer though, like soda cans.
Just a crimper.
Yeah, it might be. You know how it is though. It's like, I wonder if a regular soda machine.
I think it's the exact way that a normal soda.
Is it? You think it's compatible? Just,
crimps.
Rolls it on.
Dude, what you should get is this Vivor can.
Of course.
Ooh, I get 1,000 emails from Vivor and I ask them for stuff and then they never respond. And I'm like,
dude, Vivor is amazing. But this is a canning, like a normal can. That's epic. It's like a $600 machine and it will automatically, you put the empty can, you put your drink in and it does everything.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Would it work with a tin can for green beans, though?
You probably need like a special dye.
No.
Yeah.
I was just because
those are aluminum. And these are steel cans. Putting a steel lid in the machine meant for aluminum.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for the advice, Nigel. Wait, we traded. We taught you how to Google for FFmpeg.
Yeah.
And then you told us how to make a stinky candle.
Still processing.
And how big your penis is.
We don't owe you anything.
Yeah, we don't owe you shit, bitch.
That's true.
All right, we'll see you guys next week. Thank you for listening to the Safety Third podcast. I know that it's hard for you all. And we appreciate
Thank you so much.
We appreciate your patience and perseverance.
Yeah.
We actually don't know if they've made it to
you
the
get
end.
You get a gold star today. Yep.
All right, we'll see you guys. I don't know when. I'm not even sure. I think we've been saying that some of them are public and some of them are private, but I'm pretty sure these are all Patreon extras because everyone's going to be gone for like 3 weeks. And so we had to get three ahead. Are we enough ahead, John? Are we? Have you done the math? there's a chance that there's like 1 week where we don't have a episode. And if that's what happens, that's what happens. We might come out of this with extra. I don't know. And then we'll start posting publicly in like January.
Okay.
I don't have a plan.
The new year, new podcast.
Yeah, because Nigel gets back after we would record in January, the first week of January. And
going
then we
vacation.
Leave immediately after for a week.
Yeah.
So.
When is that? January
6th or something.
Okay.
All right, we'll see you guys next week. We love you.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.